The shift from city to borough government will mean changes for several department heads, nearly all of whom were on hand to talk with the public at the event. Finance Director Jody Tao is working on taxation issues, of course, like updating the senior sales tax exemption rules.
Sales tax, senior exemptions, getting out new cards to everyone, to all the businesses, resale cards, updating the senior citizen senior exemption cards. Right now, we have no way of knowing how many are out there because they never expire. So we've had to make the requirement that seniors come back into the office and fill out the necessary paperwork, the updated paperwork, and get a new card.
While sales tax and transient room taxes are expected to go into effect borough-wide this spring, people outside the former city limits won't pay property tax until next year after the borough assessor values the newly incorporated property. Borough mapping technician Susan Christensen is developing the map for that effort.
Once I get a base map, I'll be able to begin to give parcel ID numbers to all of the subdivision lands that are out there that are privately owned. And I believe the assessor plans to start in September driving around doing assessments in the outlying areas.
Those areas that are not within the former city limits will need to be included in a new comprehensive plan. That's the job of the Borough Planning and Zoning Commission and the Community Development Director, Leo Luzak.
Comprehensive plan is your major planning document for your community. And what it does is it takes, there's a lot of various plans that are already around, and it'll merge those together, have a very public process, and try to come up with a vision of where you'd like to be in 10, 20, 30 years. It's very helpful for applying for grants.
Does it have to lay out zoning for areas that are unzoned, or can it leave those areas unzoned and for future changes potentially later?
My understanding is people outside the city limits prefer not to be zoned, so there won't be zoning out there unless they get together as a group and petition, and then the council or the borough assembly would consider that.
It will likely take a while before that work gets off the ground, since no one ran for the Planning Commission during the December borough election. The assembly is calling for letters of interest from anyone who'd like to be appointed to fill one of the 7 empty seats. One new issue for Public Works Director Carl Hagerman is keeping roads clear of snow in areas that are newly within municipal boundaries. While the state plows the main road at Papke's Landing, for instance, Hagerman's department is looking at the needs on the side roads.
So we've been doing a little bit of work on that research. We've actually cut a little ice out there with the grader and one area that was pretty rough, and spread some sand because there's pretty glare ice out and pretty bad ice in some areas out there. And we're also looking at other quote-unquote public access roads or driveways that might make sense for us to move some snow in order for fire trucks and police and ambulance to be able to get to those homes if needed.
As far as emergencies, Police Chief Jim Agner doesn't expect any difference in response. He says Service Area 1, the former city limits, is still the department's primary responsibility. However, his officers will also continue to help cover the broader borough area under an existing agreement with the state troopers.
And if you're not in Service Area 1, you call the Alaska State Troopers, and then quite frankly, what happens is the Alaska State Troopers then call us, and we have mutual aid agreement with the troopers, and then we go out. But that's how we've been doing it for years, so we don't foresee any immediate changes.
And neither does volunteer fire chief Jared Cook, who pointed out that the fire department and EMTs already respond out the road or across the water as much as possible.
We always responded out there anyway, and we do what we can with the location and the time that we have. So I don't see any change for as far as our system right now. That would come down the road if there's areas out there that want to get better coverage than they have now.
There was a good turnout from the public. Over 40 people stopped by, including many residents from outside the former city limits. Donald Spurl, who lives in the Papke's area, came to ask about property taxes. As far as any work the borough should consider doing out the road, he suggested boat ramp improvements at Papke's and other launch sites would be a popular choice. Spurl didn't vote for the borough, but he's optimistic about the future.
I was against it, yes. But I'll be the first to go pay my property taxes. You know, that you can't stop government, and it's easier to work with people than against them. So, yeah, no, I think it's all going to work out just fine.
And inclusiveness is key for Kuprnoff City Councilor Tom Reinarts, who had been outspoken against the borough.
You know, as this borough does move forward, we need to get organized and act like a borough and encompass everybody and embrace everybody like a borough and make it a real borough, not just a bunch of little groups of people that are throwing rocks at each other or something like that. We've got to reach out and have an outreach program that does reach out to all of the areas of the borough.
One of the arguments in favor of borough formation was that the broader community will have a stronger regional voice in natural resource and development issues. Some residents are hopeful the assembly will use that voice to keep the proposed Cake Road and electrical intertie from cutting through the roadless city of Kuprnoff and possibly running power lines under nearby Petersburg Creek. The creek is a prized local recreation area on northeast Kuprnoff Island, just across the water from Petersburg. Mike Stainbrook now makes his home in Petersburg's former city limits, but still owns property on the creek where he lived for years. While he supports getting electrical power to Cake, he thinks the project should take a route that doesn't negatively impact his community.
What I would like to see is that this new borough take an active role in preserving what we have and preserving it for the future and giving serious consideration to all the alternatives and making sure that the view shed to Petersburg and where they played as a children and where their children will play is similar to what we have right now.
Some of the many issues that the borough assembly will likely have to address in the coming months and years are ordinance changes to reflect the new borough. For instance, under city ordinances, people who lived outside city boundaries had to pay more to use parks and recreation facilities. Director Donnie Hayes expects the borough government will be reconsidering that issue.
There won't be any changes to pricing as of yet, because that is actually can only be changed by ordinance. And so there's a lot of other ordinances that have to be pushed through to get the borough change to happen. And so ours is a little bit lower on the list, but we'll be looking at that pretty soon here in the next 3 months or so.
And now that it's a borough and no longer a city, at least one new municipal resident is suggesting a name change. George Cole of Keene Channel said he'd like to see the community called Petersboro instead of Petersburg.
Doing that kind of takes away the baggage that comes along with the idea of a burg, because it is no longer a burg, it is now a borough. And yet it does acknowledge the history by keeping the name Peters from the founder of the former city of Petersburg. It retains that history and also acknowledges the birth of the borough arising out of Petersburg.
Such a change would require a ballot question and public vote, since the municipality is officially named Petersburg Borough in its charter. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.